you've never gone to a book that no one goes to. You're going to be going there today, so we just bring you God all the glory.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, as we come into this room, Lord, that we shake off all the dust of our minds and we focus on you. That God be glorified, that God be magnified. There is none like you. You alone are Lord of lords. You are King of kings. You are the Savior of our souls. We need your guidance in a time that we've never seen. We've never seen evil on every side, anger everywhere, but we've never doubted you. Today, we, your people, come to you. We come to the throne of heaven saying, speak, Lord, because we need you. We will not turn back, but we need your guidance. Guide us now, for this is my prayer. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and my sisters, it's an amazing time. I want to wish you a happy 4th. I did my cooking yesterday because I've got church all day today, so my wife made sure I did mine. So whoever hasn't cooked yet, you do need to do that tomorrow. So I'm already good. These days are the most interesting days. They're troubled times where people are angry everywhere. You can't even go to McDonald's. You can't go to Starbucks. You can't go into the mall unless someone is angry. America's caught in the middle. Christians are caught in the middle. Tomorrow is Independence Day, but you have women across the nation, millions of them, who don't feel free. All of a sudden, the ruling has come down, and they feel that someone is now controlling their body. But not only do you have that, you have people complaining about gun violence and gun control. But if it wasn't that, there's always something going on. Why is we always seeing there's always something going on, and Christians are caught in the middle? What do we do when we're caught in the middle? I want to give you a warning. Do not lose your salvation for the world. Where would I find that at? I want you to meet me in the book of the Apocalypse, Revelations chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Revelations, the one book that no one likes to preach too much. Revelations chapter 2, starting at verse 18. When you get it, say amen. Or as we say in the Baptist church, or say hold up. Chapter 2, verse 18. We're looking at a church called Thyatira. It's funny because I'm looking at this place, a small church, the smallest of churches, but God had the biggest word for them. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Got it. Here in your hearing, I'm reading the New King James Version. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, whose eyes are like the flame of fire and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works, your love, sacrifice, your love, your service, your faith and patience, and your works, and last more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you've allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things that are sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into the sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent their deeds. I will kill the children with death, and the churches shall know that I am the one who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give for each one according to your works. And I will give each one according to your works. Now I say to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And you who overcome, keep my works until the end. To him I will give the power over the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron, and they shall be dashed with pieces of potter vessels. And also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who hears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If I had to put a title to the text today at this Independence Day, I'm going to call this one Troubled Times. Troubled Times. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you tolerant? Do you tolerate people who have a different opinion about God, different opinion about abortion, different opinion about politics, different opinion about gun control, different opinion about discrimination, different opinion about homosexuality, different opinion about religions? Are you able to deal with people who feel differently than you? This text asks the question, or makes the statement, be careful. Come with me now to the book of Revelation, where church, a small church, the smallest of all the churches that Jesus is coming to speak to, saying, I want to judge the church. And God's not judging the world. He's judging the church. We are not supposed to judge people. God wants us to judge each other for the fruit that we bear. Are we really Christians? Are we living for Christ? And the first point would be this one. Be careful. God is watching you, and what you do, you'll be judged for. You need to hear that. Be careful for what you do, because God will judge you for it. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, and who has eyes of flames of fire and feet of fine brass. I know your works of love, of service, of faith, of patience, and your works, and last is more than the first. Jesus is speaking through John, speaking to this church and saying, I know what you're doing. I know what you're up to. I know the work that you do. I know that your work of faith. I know your work of love. I know your work of service. I know your work of patience. And not only that, in a time of trouble, the church is progressing. But God is saying, I'm going to judge the church. Thyatira is an interesting church because most of you know the Apostle Paul. When Paul had a dream to go to Macedonia, he had a dream and he met a woman, Lydia, in Acts chapter 16. This woman met at the river, and she says, tell us more about this man named Jesus. And all of a sudden, this woman asked Paul to come to her house, Thyatira. And all of a sudden, after that, shortly after, a church was formed. Acts chapter 16, a woman founded with Paul a church. But now go a little bit further, because it doesn't matter how you start. It really matters how you end. Write this down. Be careful. Every great prophet isn't called by God. Some can lead you astray. Be careful. The Bible would say, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, for you allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual morality and eat things sacrificed to idols. A church founded by the Apostle Paul and a woman is now floundering because of a woman. The church, in this very church, like most churches, there are almost three factions. There's some people who are faithful. There's some people who are tolerant. They let anything go. And there's some people who just want to do wicked things in the church. That's how churches usually are. There's always someone who wants to split the church. There's always someone who's angry in the church. But Jesus has a word for this group of people, these people who want. How about this? Jezebel was only offering them a way for them not to have to sacrifice as much and make peace with the world. She was offering them, she could offer them a justification for immorality. She was offering them that you could be comfortable in your sin. That God loves your heart and he doesn't care about your life. That you can be a Christian and you can be a Muslim at the same time. You can be whatever you want to be and God will forgive you for everything. God does not judge, that grace has no end, that it never ends, and you can do what you want to do. You cannot worry. Don't worry, protect yourself. Don't give God anything. He'll understand. There were troubled times and the people wanted an out. And she offered them one. There are lots of ways to heaven. You can sin as much as you want. She offered them an out. There's a story of a man who was a millionaire and his brother died and called a preacher and he said, hey doc, I want you to preach my brother's funeral. And I want you to say he's going to go to heaven and he's a saint. Pastor said, well, no, he wasn't a saint. Well, I'm going to write a check for $10 million. And I know you'll say he's a saint. Well, he wasn't a saint. Preacher, all you have to do at the funeral is tell the church, my brother was a saint, and $10 million is yours. Preacher says, write the check. At the funeral, he's preaching and preaching, gets up there and says, I was paid $10 million to say that this man who was a hellion and a hellraiser was a saint. But compared to his brother, he is a saint. But neither one of them are going to heaven. Compromise. $10 million later, he's, you know, but guess what? Compromise. The church of Ephesus was a church before it. It was a hard church. They believed, they had little love, but they were able to discern what was right and what was wrong. The church of Thyatira had much love, but it did not have a backbone. Do you have the backbone to tell someone what's right is right? You see, we run into this problem. People say we're not supposed to judge people. Coming from Matthew 7:1, do not judge unless you will be judged. But Matthew 7:15 says, you're supposed to be able to discern people, and it would say these words, beware of false prophets who come and seek clothing and ravenous rules. You will know them by the fruit. So somewhere down the line, we're not supposed to judge people. We're supposed to judge the fruit. That if you say you're a Christian, you should act like a... If you say you believe, then it should somehow be in your life. These are troubled times. But this is even worse. What happens when you forget who you're living to please? Be careful. It's not only lost sinners who need to repent, but also disobedient Christians. Be careful. I wish this was an easier text, but it will get sweeter, I promise you. The Bible will say in verse 24, now I say to you, To the rest of Thyatira, as many of you have doctrine, have known the depth of Satan, I say to you, I put no other burden, but hold fast until I come. And he who overcomes, keep my works until the end, and I will give you the power of the nations. Jesus was telling a church to hold on. The first conversation was about the people who believed and were following Jezebel. Then he wanted to talk to people who are tolerant. Now I want to talk to believers. Are there any real believers in this place right now? Would you mind standing? In a time when the world is confused and doesn't understand, will you walk away from God? Will you still serve God? I need you to praise God. If you can stand, stand. Will you give God glory today? On a day like today, when everyone's complaining about God, that he's not this, he's not that, I don't believe in this. Do you still believe? Do we still got some believers who said, until the day I die, I will give God glory. He is the light of my life. He is my soul keeper. He is my everything. He is my all in all. I don't care who leaves him. I don't care who stops believing. I will believe in God until the very end. You may be seated. If not now, then when? When will God see faith? When will God see someone says, I will never turn back? When will God have somebody, just one person who says, I don't care what happens in this world, I will be faithful to God until the very, very end. I don't care what happens in the White House. I don't care what happens in the Supreme Court. I don't care. My soul, you see, you worried about a body. My body belongs to Christ. I'm a slave for Christ. I'm a slave for Christ. And I hope you are too. That I live for Christ. That I die for Christ. You see, that's what it's going to take. I don't own myself. My life is not my own. Does anyone understand? Are there any other believers who belong to Christ? That's all I do. I live for Christ. The world is so funny because it says that you can do what you want to do, but you can't. You're a Christian. You're supposed to live for Christ. You don't have a political party. You serve God. You serve God. Say that with me. I serve God. I serve God and God alone. I don't care about anything. This world is trying its best to divide us. It's trying its best to make us feel like something's wrong. No. You belong. but you belong to Christ. I'd like to go through the ABCs of Christendom, please, if you don't mind. I want to make sure you believe this, because if you don't believe this, then we have to stop right now, because I need to make sure I'm talking to believers. Isaiah 43:10 says that there's only one God. Is that true? Amen. That God is sovereign, that God is just, that God is love. Does everyone believe in the Trinity? That there's God, but has three parts, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do we believe in the Trinity? Amen. Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do we believe that he was born of a virgin? Do you believe that he was fully man and fully God? Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? That God is also spirit. Do you believe that the Bible is the word of God? That the Bible is supreme? Do you believe in the plan of salvation? That we were created by God and in his image and we sinned? Do we believe that? Do we believe that sin made us depart from God and Jesus died to bring us, to rectify us back to God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that we are saved by grace? Do you believe that hell is real? Do you believe that these are the end of times? Then this is where we will begin. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, there will be a time when Christ comes and the dead in Christ will rise again and those who are alive will be caught up. I come to tell someone, don't get left behind. Don't get left behind. Don't get left behind. Don't let this world's issues, you should have already made a decision already. Who has made a decision for Christ? Can you praise God for that? Can you praise God? Did you make a decision? Or are you still open? Are you still on the fence? Who's on the Lord's side? I just need to know. Hold your hand up high so people know. I already made my decision. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm sold. This text is really saying, he says, I am the bright and morning star. And what Jesus is saying, a new day is coming. A new day is coming. A new day is coming. This world as it is, you can tell it cannot keep up this much stress, this much hate, this much pain. But can I bless you? A new day is coming. A new day is coming. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to let someone know. I want to let you know what you are. In the book of Ezekiel 33, it talks about watchmen. People watch and wait for the Lord. Whatever happens, I'm still on the Lord's side. They're called sentinels. They're called men and women who stand tall. No matter what happens, they'll stand with God. Because that is the only way. If you do not stand with God, you cannot go be with God. And that's what you are. You'll watch this world do whatever it wants to do. But the question is, will you still stand for God? Will you still stand for God? Is he still worthy? Is he still good? Is he still great? Is he still God? Is he still sovereign? For God I live. And for God, I die. You see, it comes down to this. They put nails in his hands for us, for those who are faithful, for God. They put nails in his feet for us. They put a crown of thorns on his head for us. They whipped him for us. But Christ never said a mumbling word that one day I would give the power to somebody, a man and a woman, to stand in some of the most evil times. If not now, then when? What is the blood of Christ for if not to stand? Will you be able to stand in this time? Will you still stand for Christ? There's a movie in 1999 called Left Behind. You almost know it. There were people here one minute and the next, they were gone. And the world didn't get better after they left. It got worse. Christ died so you wouldn't be left behind. You see, you can give me the problems of the world and you can stack them up even worse because they will get worse. But the question is, you have a bigger problem than the problems of the world. Jesus is coming back. That's your problem. You had better be about the Lord's business. Can you praise God for that? Praise God that I will be about God's business. I'd like to open the doors of the church. Because you see, the church has to stand. Everyone says the church is being washed away. No. The church of Jesus Christ will always stand. It is not black, it is not white. It is men and women whose souls are sold out for the Lord. And I'm calling you now. Let us pray that God's will be done. Do we got any Christians? Can we pray together? Can you come up and let us pray? Can you come up and let us pray? But if you're not really there, then you can stay where you are. Because guess what? When you're left behind, you're just left behind. All we're doing is praying together. Asking God to do what only. What do we do with the problems now? Do we fight about it? Do we cuss about it? Do we hate more? Or do we give it to God? What do we do? Do we protest even more? Do we shoot each other even more? Or do we give it to God? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land. You see, I wish politics could solve our problems. I really do. I wish politics could solve our problems. I wish race relations could be solved. Prayer. When people of all walks of life come together and pray, then God will do what only God can do. Can we pray for our nation? Can we pray for our church? Can you grab each other's hand? Can we make a circle? A circle that will never break. A circle that we say, if this is all God has left on earth to pray for the world, are you willing to pray? Do we need other people to come to join us, or are you enough? Is this enough? Let me bless you. There will always just be a remnant. It will never be the masses. It will never be a bunch of people coming. It'll be a few people in a little room huddled together saying, we will pray. We will pray God's will, that God would save our nation, which is splitting at the very seams, from every part of it, that God would save us. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, because we have only you. We've searched the world for hope. We thought we could find it in politicians, and it was not there. We thought that we could find it in charismatic leaders, and it was not there. We thought we could find it in laws. Wasn't there. We thought we could find it in TV celebrities, and it's not there. Father, we come to you now, Lord, as our children are suicidal and depressed. We come to you now, God, where our nation is more divided than it's ever been. We come to you now, God, that we are so frustrated and we're tired of fighting. We're tired of everyone complaining. We're tired, Father God. We come to you now on a day, God, before Independence, God, and we ask, God, Set us free, God, from these things that the devil is hounding our lives. God, we want you to have your way. We pray for what you want, Father God. We pray, God, that you, God, would make us the men and women that you need us to be, that we would be strong enough to handle what's coming, God, that we cannot say, everyone's saying it's going to get better, but what if it doesn't? Father God, give us the strength to stand in these times. Give us the strength to be fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters that we can encourage people no matter what's going on, that the light of God will be seen, that we refuse to shut down the church, that Christianity will not die. No matter how many problems come, we will glorify you. We will magnify you. We will lift you up. We will say God is still able. We will not turn back. We will not let nothing steal our joy. Nothing steal our hope. The devil is after our souls, after our churches, after our society. But the answer is no. Father, we come to you as humbly as we know how. Asking you, begging you, save our nation. Save our nation. Save us, Father. We cannot save ourselves. We need you. We beg you, Father God, join us as we try to do what cannot be done. The impossible can only be done with an impossible God. Help us, Father, to be light in this dark time. Help us to not just be tolerant, but let people know this world belongs to Christ. You belong to Christ. Stop trying to make this something that it's not. That everyone who is a child of God belongs to God. And if you don't belong to God, you belong to Satan. So we pray now, Father. We pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding. We pray for hope. We pray for healing. We pray for victory. We pray healing. Healing sick people, sick policies, sick programs, sickness around our nation. We pray that you, Father, would get all the glory and all the honor, that America would say, we serve the Lord. America belongs to God. America belongs to God. Lock, stock, and barrel. To God we serve. To God we kneel. Bless us now. Bless the saints in this circle, in this house, that we may be a light. That we may be light in these dark times. Not asking why, but asking, what else would you like me to do? That we would live lives that God would be pleased with, not men. That we stop trying to please people, but be approved by you. What would make God smile in the darkest days in our history, except for a Christian to say, for God I live, and for God I will die. That my life is not my own. Use me as a vessel. That the gospel is still as powerful as it's always been. That salvation is always at hand. Help us now. Keep us now. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. In troubled times, can you praise God? Can you praise God? Can you? Can you give God glory? Can you just clap your hands? Can you say, I'm going to praise God? Hey, no matter what happens, one day, he's going to snatch you up. 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 This, I wish that it would be easier. I wish. But if this is what it takes, heaven will never be a place where someone just walked in. It will be a place where some people say, I lost my life for Christ. I was ridiculed for Christ. I was hated for Christ. Heaven is a place where people have sacrificed everything for God. And if you are not willing to sacrifice everything for God, you will not go. Christ died on the cross for us. Do you understand? You are blood washed. It wasn't fake blood, though. It was blood from Emmanuel's veins. You have to do this. Stand. There is one person who can make the devil flee. And guess who that is? And guess who he's asking to speak for him today? God bless you. I thank you for being the light of the world. I wish it were different, but no, I don't. I'll see you in heaven. Make a promise. Make a promise. Look around. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. Hey, somebody. I want to see you in heaven. That's why I want to see us. Let this little group make a promise. I want to see you in heaven. Tell somebody, I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. Hey, somebody. That's the greatest thing. And then we'll say, once we're there, was it worth it? Woo! Was it worth it? Come on now. Hey, come on now. You about to make me shout. Oh, my God. My brothers and my sisters, on this day, I can say I will be expecting to see you when we meet again. If we don't ever meet again, let's meet in heaven. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. These days are temporary, fleeting. We will meet again. New bodies, new lives, no pain, no suffering, no war. Only problem is no chicken. That's the problem. I'm upset about that stuff. I'm sorry. How do I say this? I love you. I love you. You are my family. We are connected by spirit. I don't care what happens. The world will never make me hate you. I will always be your brother. I will always be, and you will always be my sister and my brother. Till the very end.
Ah! It's time for me to go. Ah!